session number 9552.
Farah, Reel 20. You were telling me about the banquet and how you were asked to speak for the...
on behalf of your fellow legionnaires to speak to the French, the French people. Where all the brass was, and there was a minister speaking at the time. And realised what it was. And I started off. And particularly this evening on the Champs-Élysées, when we marched up and the storm broke, we then it went down. And then the man said to me, he said, now you were up, you went to Fontainebleau, I understand. I mean, I don't know why she didn't say. He said, "Well, isn't there something particular about no?" Direct. That is. Am I? Is this live? He said, "Yes." Oh, I said, "So I." Put it on, set the other thing going, and present it to me. Now, all she could carry was a little valise, and the boy, too. From Le Mans. Anyhow, when I joined the army, I rejoined. And in conversation one day, we were on the same job. When the war broke out, he was still at one of your English public schools, and of course it was... in the artillery. Yeah, another one major. In the artillery, but he did the war in the British Army. Your friend, you know the people by sight, but you don't know the name, but only your friends, you know, your personal friends. And she said, no, we were in our country, they had a country, like all French aristocrats, they had a country chateau, but we spontaneous, what you said on the radio. I said, yes. She said, well, my husband said to me that that was this two or three minutes before I was just dropped on. So eight or nine o'clock, those ministerial speeches and all that kind of thing, but before on broadcast before midnight in all different languages. My son's got the record now. He's got the record.
The interview. He's just lucky.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that you went to the British military.
Months before the actual war, they partially mobilised, and there was with in red the British and French possessions, and the thing was I was at the office one day, and a friend of mine, a fellow called Clark, he was the manager of a so I said, right. He was commissioned into the REs, got his from London. I was instructed by a war office to get so many commission so many. But of their branches of their service, they require interpreters. He said, now I can. Promotion from date of enlistment. You enlist as a sapper, but you're promoted from date of enlistment as a sergeant. And that was really. And I. So I wouldn't have been called up, although. He said, well, you better go home and think it over. Of the lines, I think he was a great nephew, Anthony Cunard. Going back in the services, being offered a job, I said, "What's my position with the guy in?" He congratulated me in the first place. He said, obviously there's nothing to do. I was in the freight department.
Turn up. Now this would be, 2 or 3 weeks before Dunkirk, before the evacuation of Dunkirk. Oh, I said, why didn't you tell me this yesterday before we left Rouen? With hindsight, for an officer to speak like that to another rank, he was being. He said, "I'd send you back with the greatest of pleasure, but I've got to have a justified reason to send you back on a mission, and I haven't." Away, my letters would take 2 and 3 weeks for the simple reason they used to have to go to England and probably over. We weren't allowed to use the French and the civilian post. We weren't allowed to. He said, "But you know." Must come at once. Come at once with the boy. My wife got that letter within a couple. Normal. She arrived in Le Mans, and I found lodgings for her. I didn't, apart from the headquarters staff and things like that, I've been told to report to this headquarters.